Another World Cup has come and gone, and most football fans have been either ignorant of all the human suffering it took to make the event happen, or seem to exhibit a sort of cognitive dissonance between what they know and their unconditional love for football. For states and for elites, hosting the World Cup is a way of showing the world they are developed, that they are capable of hosting a glamorous event which satisfies the ludicrously high standards of both FIFA and the tourists which flood the country for a fleeting 2 weeks. Money which comes from the public is spent to meet these standards, yet most of the public are unable to afford a ticket to the event they paid for. Afterwards, FIFA walks out with private profits and the country is left in debt with an array of fantastic stadiums unlikely to ever be used or maintained.
Think of money as pubic hair and FIFA as wax. Oh, they're going to be all over you during the World Cup, but when they go, they're taking all the money with them, including some from places you didn't even know you had any money, leaving you teary-eyed going, Jesus, what happened here? What happened? I'm never doing this again.
Most members of FIFA's executive committee have demonstrated that they are far more concerned with the effect Qatar's scorching temperatures will have on playing and watching football than with the amount of human rights abuses most migrant workers will endure in order to make this event happen. All 54 members have voted against hosting the event during the summer, when temperatures reach 50 degrees Celsius. But why did it take 4 years to come to this conclusion? That Qatar is hot and it's bad for football. There have been a number of accusations for bribery and corruption directed at FIFA's executive committee, claims that they accepted bribes during Qatar's bidding process for the World Cup 2022. Sepp Blatter, the president of FIFA, has denounced these accusations as racist. The report which would reveal whether or not the allegations are true is being kept hidden from the public still. Sepp Blatter has been both very frank yet conflicting about FIFA's mandate being just football. He stated at a news conference in March that FIFA holds some responsibility for what goes on during the construction of infrastructure for the World Cup, but cannot interfere in the rights of workers. In response to the heavy criticism from media outlets and international organizations FIFA has received, Sepp Blatter seems to have assumed a more sympathetic stance.
FIFA, naturally, we are concerned about that. And I had a meeting with the new emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim. And the matter is now that they want to change something and they need your help, our help. And that's why together we are working to, let's say, to make sure that through football something can be changed.
Labor exploitation is rampant across the globe, but Qatar is an exceptional case. Hundreds of migrant workers flow into Qatar every day, mainly coming from countries in South and Southeast Asia such as India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and Indonesia. Only 6% of Qatar's domestic workforce are Qatari nationals, while the other 94% come from elsewhere. Most, if not all, of Qatar's ambitious infrastructural projects have been carried out on the backs of migrant workers who do not enjoy basic human rights and freedoms. Those working in sectors such as construction or domestic work are often subject to exploitation, abuse, and dismal conditions for both working and living. Most migrant workers enter the country under the kafala labor system. This is a sponsorship program which legally binds migrants to employers and disallows exit visas until their temporary contracts are completed. Employers can control every aspect of their lives until it is time for them to leave. In an investigation conducted by Amnesty International, 90% of workers surveyed said that employers held their passports, while 20% said their salary was different from what they had been promised before arriving to the country. There were also a number of cases reported of wages being withheld, making it virtually impossible to leave the country if they've had enough.
Conservatively, from the figures of just two countries, India and Nepal, more than 4,000 workers will die before a ball is kicked off in 2022.
Bianca Dunn-Reed, Radio UPF.